Thank you, Brother Martin. I tell you what, you ought to listen to the words sometimes. The old songs have got real message in them if you pay attention to the words. Well, it's just me tonight. A team is gone. The B team is somewhere. And the leftover team is with you. That's all you got, amen? I do appreciate Brother Parsons, what he said to me. He really said to me, he said, "Will you say something Wednesday night?" So that really is a broad request. Saying something sometime is important, though. I think about the son that got a gift package from his mother. She was one of those travelers that went around Europe and places and unusual places. Later she got home and she said, "You never did say anything about that gift I sent you." And he said, "Oh, what was that?" She said, that bird I sent you. He said, "Oh, well, it was good, but it was a little tough. When you got the feathers off, there wasn't much to it." She said, "Son, you didn't eat that bird." "Well, I tried to." She said, "Son, that was an exotic bird. It could speak 5 languages." He said, "Well, it ought to have said something." So that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm saying something. Amen. All right. Go to the 100th Psalm. I love it around all the time, but Thanksgiving, just 5 verses. And I remember when I first heard this, I was in the 3rd grade when we had I know now, Christian woman as a teacher, and she would try to get us to memorize this psalm. Now, I tell you what, memorizing words is one thing, knowing something about them, something else. I didn't know one thing about the Bible, one thing about the words, except to please the teacher, do your best. And the 100th Psalm, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God." I remember that statement from the 3rd grade. The Lord, he is God. "It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves." That wouldn't fit with evolutionary theory in places today, would it? "We are his people and his sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." That includes this generation, don't it?
Amen.
Whether they want it or not, it's still enduring. Amen. "Serve the Lord with gladness" always jumps out at me. I know this is Wednesday night, everybody gone, and a lot of folks had to go away to give their thanks. Some of us couldn't afford to go away, and so we're here. And I'm glad you turned out for church tonight. We didn't expect the biggest Wednesday night crowd. If you're visiting with us, we're certainly glad to have you tonight. It's good to see Sammy Morgan and hear him up here. He is, as he told you, at the church in Lyons, Georgia, where Brother Plowman is the pastor. And by the way, that Lyons, Georgia is where a lot of my wife's kin folks are. They got their posters in the post office, and I'm joking at her a little bit, but that is, and she has some loved ones buried there too, all that. But Sammy's doing a great job, and good to see you. The only thing, that was a good place for him to go, but we sure did hate to see him go. We wanted to claim him around here, but good to see him tonight. Anyway, serve the Lord with gladness. Now, let's think on that a minute. Not just serve, but serve with gladness. Sadly, too many people serve, but not too glad about it.
Yeah.
Amen. And that can happen to the best of us. It can get old. We can say, "I got to do it, and I am going to do it. If it kills me, I'm going to do it." I think we lose our reward when we have that attitude. Because to serve the Lord with gladness, and enjoy what we're doing. Somebody said a man is really blessed that can earn his living do a work that he enjoys doing. I met a fellow or two that says, really, I shouldn't call it work. I enjoy doing it too much. Boy, that's great when you have that, isn't it? Do you understand? And I had a man tell me this. He's kind of spoiled my life a little bit as a teenager when he told me this. I'd gotten a job after school working in a car body shop, and they let us out a little earlier, an hour early to go to work, and he'd pay me by the hours. Oh, listen, I was making lots of money. Let me think about that. I was making 50 cents an hour. Yes, sir. And if I didn't make that 50 cents an hour, there would have been nothing else. And so I remember that, 50 cents an hour. But there was an older guy there. He was pretty much an expert painter, just a good man. I remember his name till yet. And when the boss was gone, and I mean, the boss worked us pretty hard, but when he was gone, we could talk a little bit. And we did. And I remember him saying something to me one time. I was saying something, probably griping about something. But he said, do you realize what we're doing? I said, well, we're working on this car. He said, no, we're selling our life 1 hour at a time. That bothered me. You ever think about that? I'm giving my life away for whatever it is you're drawing per hour. And if you don't enjoy doing it, that's all you're doing is selling your time, selling your life. We as God's people can rise above that. We can, even if we're serving the boss man and serving the job to get a paycheck, we can still be serving God. Amen. Have the right attitude, and that'll help the drudgery of any kind of work go a lot better. And God's plan is that man works. When man don't work, he gets in big trouble, don't he? That's what we're seeing today. Somebody said idle time is the devil's workshop. It certainly is. And we see that. But to have this attitude of thankfulness, not just on Thanksgiving, but looking on the positive side. Do you know that really, from what I've read in history and remember, the original colonists, Plymouth Rock, Governor Bradford, they'd had such a hard winter. So many folks had died. I remember reading where the men would try to go out and get anything they could, find anything they could to eat, and they'd take a net like you might throw to catch fish in the ocean and try to catch fish, and they'd also throw the net over the birds, flocks of birds, and try to bring them in. Any kind of bird, even the one I described a while ago, I reckon, would have qualified. But it was tough, really tough. And the first Thanksgiving, though, was when the governor and others said, let's flip this thing. Instead of complaining and whining and griping about what we don't have and how hard it is, let's look on the positive side of what we have. Amen. And so they gathered in all the good things they could, and the Indians also helped come in to bring, and they put out a feast, but that was something they usually could not do, and they were saying, God, we thank you. Now, you won't get that in the perverted history today, but that's exactly what the first Thanksgiving was. And that's a good idea for all of us to look on the positive side. Brother Bert led us a while ago in the song we're familiar with, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one, and I'd like to encourage you to do. It's real easy to just say, Lord, thank you for all your blessings. I'm guilty, you're guilty. But think about them one by one. That's different. That's really different. I think about somebody asked the fellow, said, you're a Christian? He said, yeah. I said, does that mean you say the blessing over your food? He said, yeah. He said, how you do that? He said, when the wife goes shopping and she brings the car in and I open the trunk to get the groceries out, I just pray over them all at that one time. We find ways to shortcut it, don't we? We find ways to dodge it. But to be really, genuinely thankful, one by one is the best way. I'd encourage you, do that. Do you ever think about where you could have been, what would have happened, except for God's blessings? I think about that quite a bit. I really do. Sometimes you say, well, boy, I'm glad I was so smart. Were you really so smart? Or was it God's grace? He took care of your dumbness at the time you were about to really mess up. Understand what I'm saying there? But it's dangerous for us as Christians, as believers, as faithful people, to get used to what we're doing. It's okay to get tired of the work. We have a lot of work going on at Landmark. You know that. It's in our verses, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And weariness is a state of mind. It starts in your mind. And we got to be careful. We got a lot of labor around here, a lot of work, a lot of things need doing. And I used to think in the early years, we're going to get over the hill one day and coast a little bit. We've never got over that hill. It seems to get steeper sometime. We're blessed in so many ways. But think about it. It's easy to get tired of the work, but then think about what the work is. It's the Lord's work. Amen. Brother Morgan and I have talking some, and I remember when he surrendered to go to the mission field, somebody said, you think he'll make it? I said, yeah. They said, why? I said, because he knows how to work. Yeah. He proved that around here. See, that's a big part of success is work, whether it's success on any kind of business job or whether it's success serving God. There's some work involved, and our attitude toward that is whether or not we'll be successful at it or not. And it's okay to be tired from the work, but don't get tired of the work. If it's God's work, don't get tired of it. Oh, I know, it's easy to serve out of duty, and that's better than not serving at all. But it sure is good when you can do it with the right attitude toward it. I mean, it's my duty to go to church. It's my duty to pray for others. It's my duty to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. All that is my duty, but it's a lot better if I can enjoy it. I think about, you've heard me tell the story, but it's been so long I want to hear it again. Story about the man and his wife. Oh, she had to cook for him. She had to make the bed. She had to wash his clothes. She had to take care of everything. And she hated every minute of it. Just hated every minute of it. Didn't like it at all. Didn't like getting up early fixing breakfast. Didn't like him coming in a little late for supper. And she just didn't like it at all. But then the poor fellow died. I don't know if she poisoned him or what, but he died. And after a while, she married again. A little time went on, and one day it dawned on her. You know what? I'm getting up just as early. I'm cooking just as many breakfasts. I'm washing just as much clothes. I'm cleaning just as many house duties as I did before. But you know what? I don't hate them like I used to. What was the difference? Apparently, she didn't love the first guy. But she loved the second guy. And serving him didn't seem so bad. See, most of our problems in serving God is a love problem. How much do we love him? Oh yeah, when you women relate to this, when you do for the kids, it's not a heavy chore, you love them. You love them. By the way, I hope you love your husband the same way. That'll make it go a lot better. The truth of the matter is, loving God makes a difference. Somebody said it's not how far somebody lives from church, whether they get there or not, it's how far they live from God. How far away is our real love for him? Being thankful, oh, it's so important. In Romans chapter 1, it condemns the heathen nations because it says neither were they thankful. They lost the gratitude. I don't know if I can quote it right, but old Bob Jones Sr., he was a wise old-time preacher. Wisdom that had to come from God. I heard the story one time back in those days when the crowd would gather. All the ladies wore hats pretty much. A lot of them wore them big hats. And people behind them in the pew couldn't see around them. It was a problem. So a lot of the old-time preachers would try to get away with it. Ladies, would you please remove your hats? Now, that was a chore for some of them because they had a stick pin running all the way through the thing, holding it on, you know. But it was not a popular thing for the preacher to tell the ladies to remove their hats. But old Bob Jones Sr., he was quite a gifted preacher. He was quite a man of God, and he got up to preach, and he could see these big hats everywhere. And he said, "Ladies, would you please, thinking about others, would you please remove your hats this morning?" Well, most of them did. But one woman right in the middle had a big hat, and she wouldn't remove it. Show you how sharp the old preacher was. Here's what he did. He said, "You know, one time I got up and I asked all the ladies to remove their hats, and everybody removed them but one." And he said, "Then I found out later the reason she wouldn't remove that hat was because she had a bald spot right back here." Boy, that lady grabbed that hat off. The truth is, the old preacher was pretty smart, and he put things of God ahead of other things. Romans 1, neither thankful. That's a nation. That's our problem today in America. Oh, I could park on that. You know I could. Old Bob Jones said this. He said, "When the flower of gratitude no longer blooms in a man's heart, he's very near gone." You get what he said? He was saying, if you don't have gratitude, something's bad wrong. Yeah. But you know, by nature, we do not have gratitude. How many parents have to teach the kids to say thank you? You don't have to teach them to snatch the toy from the other one. They'll do that automatically. Right? Human nature is forced to not have gratitude. We have to make a choice whether we're going to be grateful or not. Somebody said that the word thankful is an old Anglo-Saxon word that comes from the word thankful. Think fully about your blessings. Thankful. Be thankful. And it's real easy for us to get selfish in this world today where everybody's grabbing everything. Socialism's running America because somebody wants something they didn't earn. They think they got a right to it. They think it's okay. You know, pay my college tuition. That messed up this last election. That was a promise the president couldn't keep. Shouldn't have made. It's unconstitutional. But he got a lot of young, stupid folks to vote for him. He got them in his trap. But the whole thing is, if you get to really thinking fully about what God has done for you, you can have a thankful attitude. And it'll go a long, long way. In Romans 1, when the nations became unthankful, they kept right on. They went on through the sin of homosexuality and everything else to the place finally God said he'd turn them over to a reprobate mind. Read Romans 1. It's like you're reading the newspaper today. All the stuff that's being fulfilled. But you know, the thing about this is not just words, but really work on our own hearts about being thankful. We sang a little thing around here. God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. Yes, he is. What we deserve, let me put it this way. If you got saved, you got born again, you missed hell. And you can't find anything else to be thankful for. That's the biggest. That's the biggest right there. That's enough all by itself. You know, our job after we're saved is to be grateful to God, and part of that is demonstrated by telling others the good news, how they can know him, how they can be saved, how we can pass the gospel on. I look at this 100th Psalm here. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now think about it a moment. Serve him anyway, but it's better if you do it with gladness. I want you to go to the New Testament for just a verse. I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I don't have it marked, so you can find it with me. I need you to look at it. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. want you to pick up verses 16 and 17. I want you to understand the context. Context, Paul is defending his apostleship a little bit. He had his critics. Any good preacher has critics. I hear criticisms and oftentimes totally untrue by folks that do not know what they're talking about. When they invent something bad because they don't have any truth. And they don't want the truth in many cases. But Paul was under attack, and he was explaining his apostleship. And I won't get into all that except to say this. He's talking about his preaching the gospel. So I'm going to go down to verse 16 in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and then verse 17. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. What do you mean, Paul? For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He said, this is something God put on me. I've got to do. Preach the gospel. Brother Mullins, think on this with me just a little bit here. This is so powerful. I have to think about this every now and then. For if I do this thing willingly, that's back to the psalmist now saying, serve the Lord with gladness. Paul says, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I know as I'm doing it, but I don't want to do it. Against my will, a dispensation, and that's a good King James word, not found in some of the new versions. A dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, what does he mean? Now, oftentimes we think of a dispensation as a period of time, and it can be. But it can also be an allotment. It can be a package, so to speak. And here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, if I do it willingly, wonderful. But if I even do it against my will, or if I don't do it, I'm going to be held accountable for that package, for that allotment that I could have done. I want you to get this a little bit, folks, because God expects something out of us after we're saved. He really does. He expects probably a little more out of some than others. But that's by man's measurements. I won't get into it for time's sake, but if you read the last verse of the book of Daniel, the prophet, you'd read where Daniel told the Lord, I didn't understand it, Lord. And the Lord said, just go your way, Daniel. Just go your way. And he said, in the last days, or in the end of days, you'll stand in your lot, L-O-T, lot. And I was a country boy, the lot meant a fenced-in place where we kept some livestock. That was all the area they had. They couldn't get out of it. It was a measured off spot of ground for them. God was saying to Daniel the prophet, you are in your lot. You're in your spot. You've got a piece of ground measured off for you. This is what I want to see out of you, Daniel. Wonder what he wants to see out of you and see out of me and see out of you. And if I do it willingly, I can have a reward, the scripture says. If I do it against my will, I can still get it done. But how much better if I do it willingly? Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's what the psalmist said. Wow. Think about that. I'm going to church this morning if it kills me. Well, you didn't get much reward out of that. Oh, I'll tell you what. Too many people. Had a fellow tell me one time. He was joking a little, but pretty serious. He said, by the time I get my family ready for church on Sunday morning, the hassle that we go through, it's a good thing we are going to church. Now, I knew what he meant. You understand? But how much better if they went with joy and gladness. Amen. All right. I could meddle there too much. But look what Paul was saying here. Do it willingly and have a reward. If against my will, it's still required. In my lot, God's given me a dispensation. He's given me an allotment. I got to carry it out. I'm going to be responsible for it. Whether I did it willingly or not. So he said, I've been called to preach the gospel. I can't get out of it. I do it out of necessity. God's presence, you know, I was here as the pastor, main pastor, for so many years, and during that time, we didn't always have just ice cream with cherries on it. There were some valleys, and God was good all the way through it, of course, but even with that, sometimes somebody would say, well, won't you quit? And I developed a little quick answer to that. Well, won't you just quit? I can't, you fool. I've been called. And Paul was saying that. Yeah. I've got this placed on me by God to answer for. He said, well, he was the apostle, or you're a preacher. No, if you're saved, God has got you a lot too. Measure it off. Your place of responsibility, you will answer for it. Sad truth is, we love to watch other people do oftentimes what we're supposed to be doing ourselves. You know, what I could have done, what I should have done, will be the things I fear at the judgment seat of Christ. All of us, since I've been retired, I can't help but think back and re-examine, do a little inventory. And I think of some things I could have certainly done better. I also think of some things where God took over when I went to my end and got to the Red Sea, and God had to part it because I couldn't. But in all of that, I tried. And that don't excuse failure, but when you don't try at all, or don't accept the responsibility, I should be doing this or that. And it's real easy to get that way, folks. Still answer for it. Daniel had to answer for the lot God placed him in. I've got a lot. You've got a lot. You've got a measured off place. God's got something he wanted out of you. When you got saved, it was no accident. Amen. God intended for you to do something, to use you. Might have been the witness to that next of kin, that loved one, or neighbor. But there was something that God intended for you to do. Did you do it? Have you done it? Are you doing it? All those questions we could raise. But you know, at the end of it all, and as Thanksgiving time, at the end of it all, if you can say, thank you, Lord. We're singing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. But more than that, thank you, Lord, for using me a little bit.
Amen.
That's big too, folks.
Yeah.
That's big too. I'll tell you, there will be regrets, big regrets. Oftentimes in this life, at the end of this life, regrets come because it's just human to resurvey, look back, see the trail you come on, and then realize I blew it. Could have done so much better. That's painful. The Bible says the sting of sin is death. Now, in a lot of ways you can explain that, but one of the ways is memory. One of the ways is on the deathbed, a man's sins comes up before him. They sting. The memory of it stings. It hurts. Sure does. You know, I think about the story I read. It's mission time here. We've had a great mission conference. And I read where that David Livingstone, the great missionary that went to Africa, and quite a testimony of reaching the villages and the people, giving his life and health and so forth. He was attacked by a lion. He was crippled in one arm because of the lion. He had sicknesses like any human body would have. He had all that. But he stayed and toughed it out. And they say that when his death came, that the natives was in a prayer meeting with him in his straw top hut. And when the prayer meeting was over, most of them went to their separate beds. And the next morning when they checked on David Livingston, he was dead, still in prayer, in the position of prayer at his bedside. Well, of course, in those days, travel was not what it is, and he was in the deep jungle. So the chief said this. He said, he's a native of England. We need to send his body home for burial. But his heart was with us. So they took out his insides. They took out his heart. And they buried it there in the village. And put his body on a boat. And after some time, got it back to England. And England made a big ceremony of David Livingston's funeral. And the story I read said that the funeral procession was going down the street, and the crowd had gathered as honor was being rightfully given to the great missionary. And as his casket was paraded by in the street, an old drunk standing in the crowd that had known David Livingston in the early beginning when he went, and who himself had felt that he had the call to go, but he didn't. He ran from God. And somebody said, the old drunk said this. As he looked at the casket going by, he said, except for me, there go I. Except for me, there go I. Do you know somebody else is going to have stood in our same lot with all the sufferings we had, all the mistreatment we had, all the pain we had, all the wrong things we had, and yet they're going to shine above us if we're not careful. This Thanksgiving, we could get real happy over counting our blessings, and that's fine. But let's just remember, we got a dispensation placed on us. God says, do it willingly, do it with gladness, and it'll go a lot better than if we whine and gripe and complain and maybe out of duty make ourselves do it. But so much better to do it with joy. So much better. Count your blessings one by one. I believe this. If you want to turn a bad day starting off bad, take time. Don't take a lot of time. Start saying, God, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful I had something to eat this morning. I'm thankful I had a roof over my head. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my wife, for my husband, for my kids. How many things could we count? You can't count very many before you'll change your attitude. It'll get to be a joyful attitude instead of a whining attitude. Thanksgiving, all the good part is we'll get together with our families, and that's great. And some other good things about it. But let's not be like the world. They'll celebrate Thanksgiving, but they're not directing their thanks toward God. Too many of them are directing it the wrong direction. Blessings. Bible says that every good gift cometh from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness, no turning, no changing. That's where they come from. Amen. Let's remember that. Father, may you bless us this Thanksgiving to truly, biblically, rightfully praise you for our blessings, to recognize where they come from. I pray, Father, that you would bless in our congregation. I pray you'd bless those that are traveling away from us. Give them a good time with their families. Give them safety. I pray for this coming Sunday that you'd bless the holiday that's a good holiday, Father, if the people will recognize that you're the one from whom all blessings flow. It's a good thing, Father. We praise you for it. Truly help us, Father, to look at it the right way. Bless in our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I had thought about some testimonies, but the preacher was too long. God bless you. As far as I'm concerned, you're dismissed.